let's start off talking a little bit about trade, specifically NAFTA. Permanent talks are continuing. Talk a little bit about what's going on there.
Well, we're trying to see just how long these negotiations are going to continue. We've heard that the goal is to try to conclude negotiations within the next 2 weeks. We're hopeful that's the case, given the fact that in order for Congress to be able to approve any of these new terms of NAFTA, NAFTA 2.0, in order for them to approve them this year, the negotiations are going to have to conclude very soon. There's still a lot of procedures that have to go through domestically, as well as in Mexico and Canada. And in order for the clock to start, we have to have those negotiations in soon. You know, there's an election coming up in Mexico on July 1st. They'll elect a new president. Canada has a couple of provincial elections, and we have midterm elections in Congress here. So if we're not able to get anything done here in the next few weeks, it's going to be really tough to get anything done for the rest of the year. I think there is a real genuine commitment from all three countries to find a path forward, to find some way to conclude these talks, and find something where everybody can win. And keep in mind, the main focus has been on autos, manufacturing, but there's still some other questions related to the services industries, to energy, but also with agriculture. You know, it's going to be tough. We still need to see some improvements in our for our dairy producers into Canada. There's some poultry issues as well, but then you also have fruit and vegetable issues with Mexico. Let's just say there's no shortage of things that could be improved. I don't think that means we need to pull the plug completely on NAFTA, because when you look specifically at the beef industry, NAFTA's been an incredible agreement. It represents about $2 billion in trade for us. Prior to NAFTA, we faced a 25% tariff in Mexico. We faced a lot of restrictions in Canada as well. Without NAFTA, those restrictions will come back. And so we'll go from having duty-free, unrestricted access to not being competitive in our own backyard. We need to be able to move that product, and North America has been a great place for all U.S. beef. Our primary aim for consumers is right here within our own borders, but Canada and Mexico are also good markets too, and we want to be able to capitalize on all of those customers we developed in those countries. And if we pull out of NAFTA, you know, we'll see our tariffs go up and on our exports, but the tariffs that the U.S. applies to other countries are already very low. So it's not going to do much to disrupt the import of beef and cattle and other goods from Canada and Mexico. So we don't see an advantage of pulling out of NAFTA. If anything, it'll cause a lot of harm that we don't need. You know, we're not the only ones that are negotiating with our North American neighbors. The European Union has been doing that. You know, they have an agreement with Canada. They also just announced they have an agreement in principle with Mexico. So now you have a very similar economy as far as manufacturing and services and even agriculture. They're going to be competing right here in our own backyard. Europe's a major pork exporter, and Mexico's the biggest market for hams, for U.S. hams. We don't want to see that displaced and come back on the domestic market, because that affects all meat prices. We want to be able to sell more of our product outside of our borders. You know the statistic, 96% of the world's population lives outside the U.S. We have developed the American market. We keep finding new ways to be innovative and to be successful here. But our future is outside of our borders. That's where we need the focus to be. So NAFTA is extremely important, but it's just one of many issues that we're working on when it comes to trade policy.
You mentioned that two-week time period. How likely do you think that is? I know leaders have said they're optimistic, too.
I think we're optimistic, you know, but I still think it's anybody's call. You know, this last year with trade policy, it just depends on the news cycle, like where things are going. It's kind of hard to read sometimes, not just for folks out in the countryside, but for us here in Washington as well. I think that we still have a really good chance to get this to move forward. I think there's a genuine commitment from all three countries. We know that our best negotiators are at the table right now working on this, and we definitely support those efforts. But if they're not able to find a way to move forward, I don't see that as beneficial for any country, especially the United States. And so we've been very encouraging, trying to get them to conclude these negotiations, because, you know, we already have a good deal here. We want our negotiators to focus on Japan, on Europe, on the other Asian countries, and tear down those barriers that keep us from reaching our potential in those markets. That's where we see our futures in those markets.
And adding off to that, you mentioned Japan. Talk about how important that is and what's going on there.
So Japan is our biggest export market. We sold $1.9 billion worth of USB to Japanese consumers last year. A lot of those are cuts Americans find less desirable. Japan, if we lose that competitive advantage, there's not another market that can absorb the volume and the value of what we sell into the Japanese market. So we're very concerned about losing that advantage. When the United States pulled out of TPP, we're very upset about that. The United States worked very hard to negotiate good terms for beef access into the Japanese market. We currently face a 38.5% tariff. Under TPP, that tariff would have decreased to 9%. And now we fought really hard and expended a lot of time and capital to make that case. And we just walked away from it without a meaningful alternative in place. So we need the administration to either get us back into TPP, as they've floated the idea and then quickly rescinded, or we need them to really double down on a bilateral trade agreement with Japan. We were encouraged that Prime Minister Abe was at Mar-a-Lago with President Trump. We know that they had a lot of issues to talk about. Trade was one of those. Everything from steel tariffs, but also to TPP. We need those conversations to continue, but we also need to see some achievements as well. Japan will continue to be a top priority for us. It's been a really good market. We've come a long way from being shut out of that market to having a 21-month age restriction due to BSE to now it's our biggest export market. We want to continue to grow there. The last thing we want to do is to lose everything that we have fought so hard to get.
And then that's exactly what I wanted to ask about. Anything we didn't touch base on you want to make sure is mentioned?
I think it's important to pay attention to all the markets that our competitors are negotiating in. You have Mercosur, South America. They're trying to negotiate more deals with our trade partners. You look at everybody who's lined up to get into Japan, but also China. I mean, there's a real need to hit the accelerator when it comes to trade policy in the United States. We cannot afford to take a protectionist viewpoint, because if we really want to protect jobs, we have to create incentives through exports. You're not going to bring in jobs by cutting off the flow of commerce. Protectionist walls don't benefit us. If anything, they put our smaller producers and our mid-sized producers out of business. They create more stress in rural areas, and that's the last thing we need. With commodity prices as they are, we need more people competing for our products. We need more demand than we have supply. That's just simple economics. And where's that demand? It's outside of our borders. That's why trade policy is so important to us. It'll continue to be a priority for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.